League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
We're firing it up. It's Monday night. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson.
We are live and living the dream.
I'm David Gao, the boss. You are the gloss. And it's great to be back. We've got Ron Culver behind the glass producing our show. Ron, welcome in.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to this. It's going to be fun.
Love having Mr. L.A. behind the glass.
So we begin the show every week where the gloss puts on a little bit of gloss. She gets ready for the big show.
I do. And it's my ritual.
As you did that, I took a close look. Your hand, it looked almost like Tom Brady's. Is it injured? You're playing in pain today, aren't you?
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to have black tape over it for a reason.
Oh, you're going to keep it a secret?
Yes, I've got a sequins glove coming on next segment, so just beware.
Nobody will be able to tell, but she's playing in pain tonight. We appreciate your turning out despite all what you've got there.
You know, willing to take one for the team. That's what I do.
Very good. And then before we came into the room, Ron Culver was putting Crisco all over our microphones here, so no one's going to climb a pole here in the studio.
Exactly. None of those shenanigans can happen on my watch.
Only in Philadelphia.
I just don't know that we should be talking about Crisco and poles with me being the only woman in the room.
That is a really interesting
if the boss is
place
okay
that you're trying
to talk about it, then I'm okay.
Okay, Ron, I'm with you.
It's the people of Philadelphia who did it to me, and we're going to talk to one of them, actually, later this show. We're going to talk to the former tight end of the Philadelphia Eagles, who was on the team that played for them in 2005 and played for the
Lewis.
Patriots. Yes, he will be on joining us.
And he's so motivational. Can't wait to talk to him.
Very motivational, and he knows that heartbeat of the Philadelphia Eagle fan. He talked a lot about what it was like when the city erupted back in 2005 and what it was like last night when they erupted again and stormed the streets.
Let's hope for one more eruption in 2 weeks.
We'll also get to hear from Joe Adruzzi. He is the former offensive guard for the Patriots. He won 3 Super Bowl titles playing for Belichick back in the 2005-2008 era. And had really great insights into what makes the Patriots tick, what makes them special.
And he's seen the highs and lows of the NFL playing for the Patriots and the Cleveland Browns.
So they are going to provide some great insight this next couple of hours. We're so glad you're with us. We'll be talking Patriots, Eagles, and all other things when we return The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We now know the final 2 teams in the NFL. A great season and unfolded with 2 games yesterday. One wildly exciting, one not so exciting. Let's talk first about the Eagles' big win. I mean, my reaction, I thought the headline across all of America should have been, what the Foles? I mean, Nick Foles. How did that happen?
I'll tell you what. That's called a great work ethic by Foles and great, incredible coaching by the Eagles staff.
Yep, credit Coach Peterson there.
Credit Doug Peterson. No doubt about it. He scaled back that playbook for Foles and gave him a high volume of those read option passes, and it was perfect read option plays. It was perfect for him. And it just built his confidence as he went along the game. And that guy, I mean, he avoided overwhelming Nick Foles, who missed the entire preseason with an elbow injury, had done 4 passes in the regular season before Carson Wentz went down. And he managed to know how overwhelmed he could be, scaled everything back, and just made it work for him. And Foles stepped up and did it.
Well,
unbelievable. He responded.
I'll give another shout out to resident quarterback guru here at SB Nation Radio, Sean Salisbury. He really several weeks ago said we were all going to be underestimating what Nick Foles could do. And Foles, combined with the great coaching, really played at a level nobody anticipated.
He really did. And, you know, when you're on a stage like this, that's your time to shine. Because when you look at him, he's not very young. He's 29. He's not very fast. He ran a 5.040. And he's not particularly accurate. You would not say any of those things about him after last night's performance.
Well, he sure looked accurate last night.
Wow. But he, you know, that is also, I want to credit Doug Peterson, yes, but credit the incredible supporting cast around him with the Eagles. I mean, they protected him. They caught for him. They blocked for him. They did everything, and the defense did their part big time. I mean, Minnesota, up until that game yesterday, had zero turnovers in the red zone, and that defense for Minnesota caused three. I mean, defense for the Eagles caused three against Minnesota. So he had a big supporting cast around him, too.
Yeah, and it almost looked like the Vikings were flat after their big, exciting Minnesota miracle the previous week.
I think they were. You know, but they opened up with a beautiful touchdown drive.
Yep.
But then, you know, here's the difference. Nick Foles had this incredible supporting cast around him to do everything he needed them to do. Case Keenum did not. He did not have the room to be able to perform. He really didn't. He was under duress. I mean, Chris Long had his number all day long, literally.
Yep.
And just never could recover. Super disappointing. Really porous defense for Minnesota. It was just really surprising.
So when I look at the Vikings, and let's talk about the Vikings for a minute, there's going to be a lot of change coming. We know Pat Shurmur, their offensive coordinator, is going to the Giants. That's all but done.
Mm-hmm.
All three of their quarterbacks are free agents.
Mm-hmm.
They, for all we know, could all leave. Presumably they'll be able to keep at least one, if not two.
Mm-hmm.
Who do they keep? And goodness, I would never want to reward Case Keenum with a franchise-type contract based on just one great year.
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately for Case Keenum, I think yesterday's performance is going to ensure that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know even, so you look at, so let's look at who Minnesota has. So they've got Teddy Bridgewater,
yep,
who has really not thrown a pass in 2 years because of a devastating injury. However, loved what they saw in him. He did great things for Minnesota. And I think they're going to be hopefully smart to hang on to him, give him a chance and bring him along as they should. I think Sam Bradford's going to be tricky because he's so injury prone. And Case Keenum, he really showed he's got the support of that locker room. He's very coachable. He's able. I mean, he did an incredible job for Minnesota. And obviously the clutch play to Stephon Diggs to bring them to the NFC Championship game was enough. But I don't think it's enough to give him a starter's salary.
So maybe they meet somewhere in the middle because there's a lot of chemistry there. Presumably Keenum would like to return. A lot of the pieces are all built around him. We've got a good receiving core. Dalvin Cook will come back. He was a guy who looked like me. He might mm-hmm. be a rookie of the year until mm-hmm. he had the ACL tear. Presumably he comes back and makes a contribution. This is a good environment for Keenum. Now he loses his offensive coordinator, so that may change the dynamic a bit. But if I were to ask you, okay, there are those three quarterbacks, which ones return, if any?
Teddy Bridgewater, I'm still not ready to cut ties on him. I need to see more if I'm a Minnesota GM. And I think I'm going to keep Case Keenum because he really benefited when Minnesota had a strong defense, they had a great offensive coordinator who's yep. unfortunately now leaving, and a quality supporting cast. And those things, other than the OC, is going to change, but they'll bring in someone good. Those are all still there. You know, and unfortunately, yesterday they were not there in the loss to Philadelphia. But look at this for a minute. When you think about that last beautiful 61-yard Case Keenum to Stephon Diggs play that sent them to the NFC Championship game.
The Minnesota Miracle.
The Minnesota Miracle. What I kept thinking about that is they had held New Orleans to 0 points at the half. New Orleans hadn't scored.
Yep.
They went on to score 24 points in the second half. And so you started to see a breakdown of the Minnesota defense, which, yes, they pulled it out. It was beautiful. They did what they needed to do. But what I saw yesterday to me was a continuation of that breakdown that started at the second half of the New Orleans game.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, Breeze lit him up in the second half of that
game.
He
really did.
Moved up and down the field, took the lead late, and then it was the miracle that changed that dynamic.
Started to make that defense look vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
which they hadn't all season.
All right, over in the AFC, Patriots somehow
did
it again. You've got a little Patriot fatigue.
I have Patriot fatigue. I mean, listen, I, I feel like I can recognize greatness and I really can respect greatness. And that's what's going on in New England, from Bill Belichick to Tom Brady to even a defense that's ranked 29th in total defense in the NFL. Did they look like that yesterday to you?
No, somehow, when they need a play, they make it.
My gosh. They've just got – they've built up such cachet. This is like a juggernaut. I mean, 10 AFC championship games. It's the NFL record. 11-1 in playoff games versus the AFC South. I mean, it's their numbers are crazy. They will reach 8 Super Bowls, and they're still not done. And, you know, this is crazy. So there's 4 teams that make up the NFC South: Tampa Bay, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans. The entire NFC South has only reached 6 Super Bowls combined. What do you do with that? Just what do you do with that?
I don't know. I guess if I owned one of those teams, I'd go pay a fortune to bring Belichick over. I don't know how you solve that one. It's really remarkable.
It is really remarkable. And, you know, more than New England winning, which everybody thought they would. I mean, I was really pulling for Jacksonville just to have some new blood in the Super Bowl. But where was Saxonville? Where was Calais Campbell? You know, he's a general on that defensive line. And I never heard his name once yesterday.
Well, we'll get to talk to Joe Adruzzi later. Yeah. He's a former offensive guard of the Patriots. I do want to note, that fourth quarter, the wall in front of Brady was magnificent. Remember the last touchdown pass to Amendola? Brady stood there and waited for Amendola to clear into the back of the end zone.
He had a cup of tea. He retied his shoe. I was like, where is this defense?
It was an amazing amount of time he had. And on the 3rd and 18, he did have to sidestep a little bit in the pocket, but to get to convert a 3rd and 18 and to have the time to do so is a real credit to that offensive line.
No, absolutely.
There's no blue chip guy there. I mean, you don't look at a bunch of first round picks. It's not like the Cowboys offensive line where they've invested a lot of first round draft picks. They took in guys and they coached them up.
Which is just, it really just is absolutely phenomenal. It's just crazy. But you did mention, I think that 3rd and 18, that was when the game was out of hand. I mean, Jacksonville, if you cannot make that stop, and at that point in the game, Brady was one for 8 on third downs. He ended them 3 out of 12 on third down conversions, but he made the ones that counted.
But see, we seem to say that whenever they have a big win, there was this one play we can't believe it actually went their way, and that was their play.
Okay, speaking of going their way, what do you think about the penalties? So you've got Jacksonville, 6 penalties for 98 yards. I mean, that is a football field, and this game was decided by 4 points. You got the Patriots, 1 penalty, 10 yards. I mean, is this a well-coached, disciplined team that just knows, or is this some home cooking at Gillette? I just want to know. It's so – the disparity is so big.
Well,
what
you saw
think?
The internet fervor about this because the ref came up to Brady after the game. It gave him a congratulations, and there was a wink, wink, nod, nod, and money was exchanged. Well, of course not, but that would add all to the fervor. That was sort of the note, the attitude.
That all happened while the play was developing for Amendola in the end zone,
No, so I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to explain that. I will say that if it were anybody but Belichick and the Patriots are so good and so disciplined in these big games. They don't make the mental mistakes. There's a mental discipline about that team that is unique. I think there could be one of those things like in the NBA where there are certain players, the MVP players, who don't get certain calls called against them.
Sure.
There may be a little favoritism that goes. I don't think it's explicit if it's orchestrated. And no, I don't think it's anything like that.
No, I agree.
But there might be something in the recesses of a mind that just expects that the Patriots are going to be disciplined and therefore it's self-fulfilling.
Right, and there were some things like really that 32-yard penalty on or 30-yard penalty on A.J. Boye to basically end the half. It shouldn't have ended the half.
Right.
And I'm going to shame Jacksonville on that one. When you've got 55 seconds on the clock and you're playing for your life, the Patriots have just scored right before the half. You do not take a knee. You've got to have more faith in your quarterback than that. Come on.
Now you got to go for the jugular when you get them
gotta
down.
You got to go for it. Conservative play calling is going to get you.
Well, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Chad Lewis. He's the former tight end of the Eagles, and we will talk about the Eagles' big win and the matchup to come in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Chad Lewis coming up.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
What did you just say?
Well, joining us now on SB Nation Radio, real treat, Chad Lewis. He's a former tight end of the Eagles, and Chad was on that Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl and faced the Patriots back in 2005. Chad, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you for having me. Appreciate being here.
So give us a brief look back. I know you didn't get to play in that Super Bowl game, but it was an extraordinary game. You made the catch that advanced the Eagles into the Super Bowl against the Patriots, injured your foot and didn't play. But tell us what it was like to be in that environment and face Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Well, the Super Bowl is an incredible experience. And what made it sweet for our team is the years leading up to it. We went to four straight NFC championships. We lost to the Rams, the Buccaneers, and the Panthers. So when we beat the Falcons and we went to the Super Bowl, the eruption that happened in the city of Philadelphia was something that it was just so sweet. At the end of my career, I still had another year after that, but to be able to win that game, to win your conference and represent your conference in the Super Bowl, it was so much fun. And I really wish that I could have played in the game. I thought about it since I was a little kid. So to sit on the sideline with two screws in my foot, unable to play, it made my Super Bowl bittersweet, but I came out of it realizing that my Super Bowl, my own personal Super Bowl, was my family. And that helped me assuage the pain of not being able to play in the game.
Well, Chad, that couldn't be a better endorsement, let me tell you. And we know that had you been in that Super Bowl, the Eagles already be Super Bowl champs. So we're going to just
I'll stand by that. Sure. 2005, they would have had it.
So, Chad, having played tight end, and you know the beating that Rob Gronkowski of the Patriots takes each and every game. Yesterday, the helmet-to-helmet hit by Barry Church in the first half that knocked Gronkowski out of the game for the whole game with a concussion. Church ended up staying in the game, and he got an unnecessary roughness penalty. Was that the right call? Was that harsh enough?
I think it's the right call as far as harshness. Those helmet-to-helmet hits they're really hard to officiate those hits because football, when you watch it on TV and you have the benefit of slow motion, it looks really easy to say, well, yeah, he went in there with his head. When in reality, if you get in a car wreck and you can remember the tiny details of where your shoulder and head and arm went during a car wreck, that's amazing. Well, that's what football's like. It's going so fast. And so I think that some of those helmet-to-helmet hits are intentional. I think most of them are just the result of playing football. And the game in the NFL, they're trying to protect the players as much as possible because we've seen the long-term effects of concussions with CTE, with other problems. And I think they have to do something, and they are. Sometimes the way that it's applied seems a little unfair. I think in that particular instance, I think it was fair that there was a penalty assessed. And I don't know how Gronk is feeling. He'll probably have some haziness this week, I would imagine. And we'll see if he gets cleared up and is able to play in the Super Bowl.
We are talking to Chad Lewis. He's a former tight end of the Eagles and was on that team, the 2005 Super Bowl team of the Eagles that faced the Patriots. So yesterday's game, Nick Foles was just outstanding. What did you see? What made the difference for him yesterday?
It was incredible to watch him over the last several weeks. To take over for Carson Wentz, his first game, he came in and made some amazing plays to finish off that game. The third down he got in that game when Carson went down that really won the game was incredible. And then there were a couple games where he was rusty. The thing I like the most about his rebirth is the fact that his coach, Doug Peterson, and his teammates stood right by him. He's a big guy with a big arm. He's played very big before, so he has the potential and the capacity to do just exactly what he did last night. But for him to actually do that, to come in a conference championship environment, to play a red-hot Minnesota Vikings team, and to make the big throws that he did, to move around as sturdy in the pocket as he did, that was phenomenal. I think he finished the game 15 for 15. Those numbers are pretty freaky, and he did it. And so for the rest of his life, I hope that's not his greatest game. I'd like his greatest game to be the Super Bowl. But he hit a grand slam last night in front of the Philadelphia Eagles home crowd. That was one for the ages.
You know, and the sad thing about that, actually, Chad, is that he's probably still going to be in a backup role next year, no matter what happens from here on out behind Carson Wentz. But let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball for a minute. So Philadelphia goes into the Super Bowl as the number four top-rated defense in the NFL. New England is 29th in total defense. So do you think the adage is going to hold true, in your opinion, that defense wins championships?
Yes, I think, and I know defense wins championships. And I would say even though the Patriots are 29th in total team defense, they're number one in knowing how to put a championship team on the field for the Super Bowl. So they're still in their current regime. Still got Tom Brady. You still got Belichick. You still got
Patricia.
You still got So you still got the core. You're going against the Philadelphia Eagles. You're going against a team that knows how to win the biggest game. You don't take that for granted. And the way you win is through incredible study and total execution. And that starts immediately by watching tape. You're not playing ghosts. You're not playing against Randy Moss. You're not playing against people that aren't there anymore. You're playing against the current New England Patriots. And so you go to work. You get into your film study. You get into your practice. You clean up as many mistakes as you can. And then you go forward with all the swagger, confidence, power that you got. And that's how you do it.
We're talking to Chad Lewis. He's a former tight end of the Eagles and on that team that faced the Patriots in 2005. Okay, the coaching staff of the Eagles has just been outstanding. Peterson seems to push to all the right buttons. Jim Schwartz on the defensive side of the ball, outstanding. Speak about that coaching team, would you?
You know, Jim Schwartz, the job he's done the last couple of years with the Eagles is extremely impressive. He's built a tough, confident, very aggressive style of defense in Philadelphia. I think Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson putting together that staff, their guys, the players believe in it. They play together. And how do you know they play together? Well, you've seen Peters and Carson Wentz and Sproles and middle linebacker. You've seen their team go down with injuries. And each injury, the team seems to take one step closer together. That is impressive. That's not easy to do at the pro level, to get a team to buy in to play team football. So we're watching their team chemistry grow together each game. And they have 2 weeks now to prove it to each other that the preparation is more important than the hype. And if they can focus on what they can control, which is the preparation, then the hype after the game will take care of itself and take care of them forever. So you want to take care of the preparation.
So this is Chad Lewis, former tight end of the Eagles, and he was on that team that went to the Super Bowl. Chad, you talked earlier about how there was a total eruption in the city of Philadelphia when you guys won the NFC Championship game back in 2005. Well, I saw something happening this week that I never had seen happen, putting a Crisco on those poles. I guess there was a lot of anticipation of what Philadelphia might do and the way they might erupt. What's so crazy about Philadelphia fans?
But what's so crazy about Philadelphia fans is the passion. And the passion is combined with sports knowledge. So Philadelphia fans, they're very high IQ fans in boxing, baseball, football, hockey, basketball, it doesn't matter. They watch it, they listen to it on talk radio, they understand it. So you have a sports crazy town, which is a football town, hungry for a championship. You put all that stuff together, you light a fuse, and you have what happened last night, just an eruption. And I think the city, I talked to the mayor before the game, and we joked about, you know, how funny it was that they actually put Crisco on the poles. that was smart preparation. I mean, they know who they're dealing with. They know that they've got a city full of fans that care as deep as any city in America about this 14.
And they are hungry for a Super Bowl win. Let's bring that home, right?
Oh, man, hungry.
Well, you'll have to get out the Crisco again if that one happens. It'll be a big-time parade. Chad Lewis, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate your being part of The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So that game between the Patriots and the Jaguars will go down as a pretty epic finish, an extraordinary game. I actually didn't see the Jaguars being as competitive as they were. That Bortles played better than I thought he could.
In the first half.
So Bortles had a great first half, and then it was all tempered in the second half.
You know, I kind of feel the same about Jacksonville as I just in the last segment talked about what happened with Minnesota, how they kind of continued on their defensive slide after the New Orleans game. Think about it. Jacksonville, yes, they beat the Steelers to then have to face the Patriots. They gave up 42 points to the Steelers.
In the second half against the Steelers.
In the second half then, too.
42 points and a half, that is a notable half.
It's big. Right. And, you know, so I feel like they had the same sort of hangover when, you know, well, let me also give credit to the Patriots. Bill Belichick is the master at adjustments. Right. And I think he looked at the limitations of Jacksonville and made the adjustments accordingly at the half and came out and did it. But Blake Bortles did not look like the same first half quarterback that he was.
Yeah, part of it to me was situational. The Jaguars found themselves deep in their own territory, particularly in the fourth quarter on some of their drives. And it was clear when they were deep in their own territory that the Jaguars...
They weren't
comfortable passing it when they had their back in the end zone.
Jeez, you know, you just... That's where you just want to... You're not sure about Blake Bortles. Because while he can do some amazing things, he won some games this year with his legs, some games with his arms, he does not have the big plays. He doesn't have the chunk plays when you need him. And they needed him the whole second half.
Yep.
They were pinned up at the 10-yard line several times in the second half and just couldn't get out because the Patriots know how to defend the run.
Well, the Jaguars have an option to keep Bortles next year at about $19
million. $19 million, it's a fifth-year option.
He's a guy I'd like to have come back if I were running the Jaguars, but not at that price tag.
Mm-mm.
So the question is, can you renegotiate that? Can you find a better deal with him that's more reasonable, more team-friendly? Because honestly, I don't know that I could count on Blake Bortles to take me to the promised land. The interesting thing about the Jaguars is they seemingly have all the other pieces.
They do.
Except for the quarterback.
And they have the pieces in talent. They have it in youth, and they have it in exuberance. They have it in work ethic.
Coaching.
They have it in will. Coaching. But here's what I say. Blake Bortles has himself and Jacksonville in quarterback purgatory. Because if you look at his season, which, remember, there was talk in the preseason that he was going to be benched.
Yep.
I mean, he was playing so poorly. Throughout this season, and even yesterday, he did not finish it off. He obviously, because they're not moving on. But he didn't play well enough for Jacksonville to say, he's our guy. Like, look what he's done for us this season. I mean, he's our franchise. But he also didn't play poor enough to say, we're done. We are done. So it's going to take some real thought because if you keep Bortles in Jacksonville, this may be what you have every year. And this young, hardworking, exuberant core is going to lose its luster as the years go on. You've got to make hay now. I mean, you've got this kind of talent now. And I just think it's tough to do because he's a serviceable quarterback and he's done some great things, but we saw yesterday. And again, it was against the greatest of all time, the GOAT for sure. I mean, Tom Brady put up 138 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, the 138 yards, 138 points would be really fascinating, wouldn't it?
That would make him the very, very, very greatest of all
time.
Two
touchdowns and 138 yards in the fourth quarter.
Yep. But that Patriots defense is not the greatest of all time. And
it is not. Bortles and Blake Bortles could throw a touchdown in the second half.
Right.
Two field goals.
Yep.
And against some teams, you can do that. You cannot do that against the Patriots. And guess what? You're always going to see the Patriots. They're in your division. So it's just, I don't know. I think Jacksonville has to cut their ties. I don't think he's worth $19 million.
Well, it's so interesting because it wasn't that long ago. There was widespread discussion that perhaps Eli Manning would leave the Giants, join the Jaguars, where Tom Coughlin, his former coach, is mm-hmm. now on the staff, the general manager there in Jacksonville. And in one sense, if you thought Eli Manning still had play left in his tank, if he's not too old, he could be perhaps, Eli could be to the Jaguars what Peyton was to the Broncos late in his career, mm-hmm. providing that sure. veteran leadership. He could be the missing last piece. But notably, Pat Shurmur, it's announced today officially what everybody's known for a couple of weeks. Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, will now become the head coach of the Giants. And the message coming out of New York is that they do want Manning to return.
Sure, they want him to return because, you know, Pat Shurmur knows how to develop a quarterback. Look at Case Keenum in Minnesota.
Yep.
So they're knowing that Eli Manning is 36. He's probably at the twilight sunset of his career. There's great quarterbacks coming out in the draft. So they want, A, that talent there that the franchise isn't going to tank. And B, someone that a youngster can learn under and that allows Pat Shurmur the time to develop him properly.
Well, okay, so suppose they get Darnold or Rosen. They have the number 2 pick overall. So he would sit and wait, but presumably only about a year under mm-hmm. Manning. I mean, most mm-hmm. of these guys just don't wait much more than a year.
And maybe not, depending on, you know, look at what happened to Peyton Manning in his last year. Remember, Brock Osweiler had to come in for 7 games
yep.
in Denver because of injuries. So you just, you know, they may have to step in earlier, but I think Pat Shurmur feels pretty good about what he can do with quarterbacks.
Sure.
Sam Bradford, you know, minus the injuries and Case Keenum.
So if Manning is off the table and Blake Bortles is not the answer, then you have to look around the rest of the league. There's mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins. There's Alex Smith.
I love
Smith.
That.
You'd like
I
Kirk Cousins to the Jaguars.
Yep, I do. Because he's got the experience. He doesn't have the love and the confidence in Washington. I mean, this would be the third year on a franchise tag.
Right.
That's unheard of.
Right.
So I don't think he's feeling, I don't know. I don't know if he wants to play for them any longer. I mean, sure, his bank account loves it.
Yeah, he may get another tag and have no choice.
Sure, sure.
But it is notable. The former GM of the Redskins came out and basically explained.
Nasty.
He said, well, look, these are the reason we only give him a franchise tag, the reason we didn't give him a long-term contract is we didn't see anything special in Kirk Cousins.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe sometimes honesty isn't the best policy.
He was honest.
That's what I tell my friends, right? And they tell me something that's not good about me. I like him in Jacksonville. I really do, because he's got experience. And I'm telling you, Jacksonville is ripe. They are I think they can take it. They can really go.
So what about Alex Smith? Is he not sort of in that same bracket with Kirk Cousins? He's good, but maybe not special.
Gosh, that is tough.
To me, they're a little bit of the same ilk. Alex Smith, Kirk Cousins, guys who can play well and win, but I don't know that we're ever going to see them win a Super Bowl.
Well, here's where I would differentiate. Kirk Cousins was developed by Kyle Shanahan, who has done an amazing job developing quarterbacks.
Yep.
You know, he did it with Matt Ryan. He's done it with Kirk Cousins. You know, Alex Smith has not been privy to the Kyle Shanahan, and he's got the Andy Reid development. I don't think he's got the foundation that Kirk Cousins has.
Okay.
And I don't know. What I see with Alex Smith is that he's really comfortable with short passes. He doesn't love the long ball. I mean, Kirk Cousins is more daring. He's willing to take more risks. And I think with the core they've got in Jacksonville, however, they do need to bring in some playmakers. I did notice that yesterday. It's like, wow, they might have to get a tight end, a receiver, you know, some new playmakers. I love who they've gotten, Leonard Fournette. Gosh, he looks good. You know, had a fairly quiet game yesterday because, you know, averaged about 3 yards a carry, but New England figured him out.
No, for Jacksonville, answer the quarterback question. Maybe you draft a wide receiver who can be a game breaker and stretch the field. And then you pick up some complementary pieces where you've got some weaknesses, perhaps shore up the offensive line or create some depth on the offensive or defensive. I mean, that team is pretty well built. They're really on
the
defensive side
of
the ball. They're very, very strong at all three levels. Mm-hmm. You could add some pieces offensively, and that team would be one of the most well-rounded teams in the league.
Well, you know, you said it perfectly. It's very well orchestrated from the top down, and you look at their three big money signings from the offseason, which is A.J. Boye, Calais Campbell, and Barry Church. My goodness. Bingo, bingo, bingo.
Yep, they hit
it. They hit the jackpot. They paid for it, and they're getting what they paid for. So, you know, that tells me that front office, you know, credit Tom Coughlin, they know what they're doing, and they've got the pieces, almost. Just that quarterback position. And, you know, speaking of Barry Church, what did you think of his helmet-to-helmet hit on Gronkowski yesterday?
So my reaction to that hit was that it was a penalty. That, by definition, mm-hmm. of the penalty, should be called. I thought it was the right call. But I didn't think it was a cheap shot in any way. I mean, given the pace of the game, given how quickly things were happening, Barry Church was going over to try to break up a pass, and he went to make his tackle. And I thought it was a very good play by Barry Church. But in the rules that we have today, it was a penalty.
It was a penalty. I agree. And I think it was handled well. But, you know, there's a lot of lip service, of course, that was a dirty hit and this and that. But you know what really bothers me more than anything? Like, that hit was hard to watch. But I loved what Chad Lewis said. He's like, when you're in a car accident, you don't remember the point of impact. You don't remember when it happened. And this game is fast, and it happens quickly, and all of that. And you can tell, he said, you can tell when things are intentional, and this was not. But when Doug Marrone was asked about the game plan for Gronkowski, he said, well, I hope they don't throw him the football.
But he had him pretty well covered up for a while.
He did,
the team
but
game.
Don't say that out loud. That's one of those things that, you know, again, honesty is not the best policy. Don't say that right there. But yeah, I thought they were doing a really great job on him before they took.
They often had a linebacker on him short, and there was a safety shadowing. Then if Gronk would go one way, the safety would go with him. So they did a nice job covering him up. I mean, the amazing thing about the Patriots, and this is just one of these mysteries how they do this, if you look at their receiving core, Brandon Cooks has brought speed to that offense.
But, 6 catches for 100 yards yesterday.
Well, yeah, and so
it's amazing.
He did stretch the field.
He did.
And Amendola, there he is. He's run a. We were looking up at his 40 time. He runs a 4.5940.
This is not a speedster.
How he comes in, and he has a great fourth quarter. You know, he's now got the nickname Danny Playoff Amendola, and why not? I mean, look at his fourth quarter. It was exceptional.
It was unbelievable. But that's the thing. I mean, you look, they don't have their Julian Edelman, who basically that catch won the Super Bowl for them last year. They didn't have Gronkowski for, you know, part of the first half, the rest of the second half. You don't even notice that you don't have these guys.
And really,
because they have so many playmakers.
Brandon Cooks is no Randy Moss. I mean, Brandon Cooks has speed, and he made some nice catches, but he just doesn't, to me, he's not the game changer that the Patriots had with Moss or anybody like that.
No, but here's, you're exactly right. But here's the crazy thing with this Patriots system, is that he caught 100 yards yesterday receiving. And then James Harrison, who went through that bitter divorce with the Steelers just a few weeks ago, is got the last laugh now. He was so instrumental in pressure on Bortles yesterday. His name, they kept repeating it and repeating it. He's an immediate impact player. What in the world?
How do they get a player late in the season from a rival who is expecting to play them in the AFC Championship game to come over to their side and actually make a difference in winning the AFC Championship? What are the odds of that?
I mean, James Harrison has shamrocks in his backyard, I'm quite sure. I mean, that guy hit the jackpot. And he's a contributor and a major contributor yesterday. It was
right.
Great.
And maybe at this point in his career, he isn't on the field the whole time, but he's a situational pass rusher at the very least. And the Patriots, frankly, the pass rush was not one of their strengths.
No.
Certainly was a weakness at the beginning of the year. They now have figured out ways to get to the quarterback. But Harrison, a great late addition to that team.
Wow, beautiful game yesterday for him.
Well, incredible times. We are now at the finale. We have the final two. A matchup that will, reunite the Eagles and the Patriots from the 2005 game. I remember that one, the Donovan McNabb game, where the Eagles were moving at such a slow pace. And they were trailing, and yet they didn't seem to play with urgency. And Terrell Owens was there playing a great game for the Eagles. Anyway, a fun flashback. When we come back, we will wrap up our NFL talk and all of our preview for the Super Bowl. You are listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, every year, it seems there's this game of musical chairs. There are the chairs, which are the open coaching positions in the NFL, mm-hmm. and then the guys who come and sit down on them. And it looks like we now have pretty good visibility. Everybody has taken a seat, it would seem. Shermer's gone over to the Giants, and we've got Mike Vrabel going to the Titans. We've got
good for him.
Patricia going to the Lions, it would seem. And we've got Josh McDaniel headed over to the Colts. So it's a really interesting window that way, that seemingly it's all settled, even though the season hadn't officially ended. I mean, these two Patriots coordinators are waiting in the wings. They're about to go to their destinations. Did it seem to you that Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia gave each other a hug that was more than just a victory hug? It was a hug. There was a victory hug plus hanging in the air the thought, wow, we don't have many of these games left together.
They have one left together.
Yes.
I mean, honestly. And it was an awkward cheek-to-cheek man hug, but you could definitely tell it was, this is almost it for us.
Now, go back to awkward cheek-to-cheek
Did
man
hug.
Did you
see it?
Yeah, how do you define that? Give me a little more color.
Have you
please.
Hugged a man sideways? Like, it was a cheek-to-cheek sideways hug. Like, usually when you hug, it's like kind of over the shoulder. You know, your head's over the shoulder. This was a cheek-to-cheeker. It was kind of interesting.
When I hug a man, I usually, is it side-to-side? No, I go chest to chest.
I think you go chest to chest. This was like not quite shoulder to shoulder. Their cheeks were touching.
Non-family member, you go in for the handshake and you bring it in and put the one
like a bro around. Hug.
Oh, that helps.
Okay.
You don't
want to
lose all sense of masculinity. You don't want to go over the top.
Well, I have a fun fact for you.
Yes.
Ron, you might know this answer too.
Do you rub the back when you hug a man?
Oh, you rub the man? No, you don't.
Do I?
No.
I am not a back rubber. No, you're asking David?
Just, give a hug and then, you know, rub the back lip. No, you don't do that. You've got to
you
stay
don't.
Away from that. No.
Okay. Can you do a pat?
Oh, you like always, do, you boop, always boop. Do a pat.
Okay.
In fact, the harder the pat, the better the friendship, I guess.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Well, let me just be clear. If at the end of the show I feel inclined to give Ron Culver a hug to say, hey, thanks so much for the
I'm
going
to make sure it's not a cheek-to-cheek.
It will not be cheek-to-cheek. There'll be no Crisco involved. All this talk about Crisco, there'll be nothing of that kind. We'll just all be
because
friendly.
Ron's sporting the same beard that Matt Patricia has. More on that later.
Oh, we do see a Matt Patricia beard. Yeah, that's a good look.
Ron wears it better.
Hard to kiss, though. Cheek to cheek.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.